It is a great pleasure for me to be here tonight, as always. I've known the brethren here for many, many years, and to be allowed to come and speak, it is a great honor. What I really love about this beautiful old building is the building is beautiful, there's no doubt about that. But it's the hearts of the brethren that are the most beautiful. They stood for the truth for many years. And I'm glad to be honored among them tonight. And I cannot express in any words how wonderful it is for me to be among you tonight. My only agenda is to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. I want to, it's like the brother said at the beginning of the announcement, I don't want you to take my word for anything. If you can't find it in the Bible, and I want you to tell me or tell the elders here, and we'll straighten that out before you leave. Our sole desire is that we all go to heaven when we die. I want to talk about hearing the voice of God. We live in an age and society. It's amazing, I think, that as we sit here this evening, there are thousands of signals entering into our space, bombarding our bodies, going in and out of our ears, and just all the time and all the time, noise after noise. Now, Melvin, don't tell me this thing's not going to work tonight now. Let me go back here someplace. Sorry about that. Technology and I don't get along always. We have cell phones and television waves and radio waves. I got it. Oh, I didn't have it. Well, Melvin. This is all Melvin's fault. But when I got here tonight, and he put all these things on the screen, and this lesson wasn't on there, and he said, well, it's my fault. And I said, but anyway, I had a backup. I had another. My wife carried it in her purse. So we've got it on here now anyway. But anyway, I'm sorry. There are cell phones and TV and radio waves and police and fire and ham radio going on and on and on, always bombarding us, inundating us with noise. Invisible, unheard waves swirling about us, through us, and unheard, unperceived, because we're not listening. We're not listening. We're not tuned in to what we ought to be tuned into. And now know this, one of these signals swirling about us is the voice of God. Amen. And we're not listening. You look at not only our country, you look at all of society in every country, and people are fleeing away from God, not fleeing to Him. Ireland last week or week before last, for the first time in the history, Ireland, this nation that was predominantly religious, for the first time they have allowed, by vote of the people, by the majority, to allow abortion to be a constitutional right. So it's not just in America. It's the world over. The voice of God. It's not audible. It's not electronic. It doesn't depend on a certain frequency to hear it. It's not measured with instruments and not received by any devices. The voice of God is received by those who have ears to hear. Now, I'm going to tell you something, and you know this. Everybody has ears. Deaf and mute people have ears. Now, if you don't think that's so, you go over to Douglas Hills and they've got about 10 or 12 deaf people. And you know what they've got? They've got a person that speaks deaf language, sign language. And they listen and they hear. And we can all hear if we want to listen. On this point, most people haven't even noticed it. But it's there. It's around us everywhere. His voice comes to those of us after we've studied and meditated on His Word and who apply those true teaching in the right way. There are a lot of people out here today that they'll read the Bible and they'll state this and they'll state that, but they're not applying it in the right way, in the right manner. 2 Timothy says we need to apply it in the right way. If you go back to the old book, the Old Testament, in the book of Job in chapter 33, Job's life is falling apart. And he does not know why. And he wants to know. Job wants to know why God will not answer him. And Job's friend Elihu corrected his perspective in chapter 33. If you want to look over there in Job 33 in verses 12 through 14. And Elihu says to Job, why do you complain to God that he responds thus? Listen now, Elihu says, for God does not speak, not one way, not another, though no one perceives it. But I tell you that you are wrong in this matter. Since God is greater than man, why do you take him to court for not answering anything a person asks? For God speaks time and again, but a person may not notice it. Elihu is saying God is always speaking. All you got to do is look around. That's what Paul says in the Roman letter. Just look around. But we're not always listening. We're not always perceiving. God has given us the only device, the only receiver we need to tune in His voice. And we cannot hear His voice unless and until we study His Word. Study the things the Holy Spirit has given for us, has revealed to us, and that's the Bible. And yet, even Christians, too many of them don't pick it up, don't study it. I'm going to tell you something. If the only time you open your Bible is on Sunday morning or Sunday night or Wednesday night, that's not enough. Brother Cook brought up the Bereans. They studied the Word daily to see whether or not these things were so. If you look in 1 Corinthians 2, starting with verse 14. 1 Corinthians 2, 14. It speaks about two kinds of spirits. One that is tuned to God's voice. And so ask yourself right now before we go into prayer, am I tuned into God's voice? Am I looking into His Word? Am I meditating on His Word? Am I living His Word? And one that's not. People who do not have God's Spirit do not accept the things that come from His Spirit. That's why our society's in the state it's in. They look at the Word of God, they laugh at it, they make fun of it. Oh, that's thousands of years old. That doesn't apply to us today. But it does. They think these things are foolish. And they mock us. And that's all right with me. It's all right if they laugh at me. It's all right if they cuss me out. I'm not too sure about stoning. I don't think I look forward to that. But I hope I have the faith that that comes, that that's okay too. They cannot understand them because they can only be understood with the Spirit's help. The Bible says that if we want knowledge, ask God. If we want wisdom, ask God. And then open up your book and see what the Holy Spirit reveals. But the spiritual man is able to make judgments about all these things. People come up and say, well, you're judging me. No, I'm not judging you. The Word judges you. The actions you and I do judge us. When people look at us and we have not acted in the way according with the Word of God, God's Word judges us. You know, one of the great things about this book is that it's a mirror. You look inside this book and you'll see the reflection of you just exactly like you are. Warts and all. That's a great thing about the Bible. It tells about man just the way he is. And it reveals man how to change. The spiritual man understands these things. But anyone without the Spirit is not able to make proper judgments about us. As the Scriptures say, who can know what is on the Lord's mind? Who is able to give Him advice? Nobody. But we have been given Christ's way of thinking. Paul says, let this mind be in you that's in Christ Jesus. What's the thing that's in Jesus' mind? I will do the will of the Father. And that ought to be in our minds. One is capable of discerning spiritual things because they are tuned into God's voice. The other is not. One is capable of producing the fruit of the Spirit and the other is not. One is capable of becoming a child of God because he or she wants to be led by God. You know, I put this into words several months ago at Memphis. And we always know it's true, and it's not profound, but I have figured out, to put in words, why people are faithful. You know why? If you know why, do this. People are faithful because they want to be faithful. And people are not faithful because they don't want to be faithful. It's a choice you make. You're either going to serve God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, your body, or you're not. And if you're spiritually minded and you look into the Word, God will show you those things. Others don't choose to be led by God. That's why we're in the situation that we're in. Even among our own people. I don't know how many children of Christian people have gone back to the world. If you think I'm talking about yours, I'm not talking about yours. I'm talking about mine. I've got two. My son and my grandson know better. But they're as far back in the world as they can be. They don't want to be led by God. I asked my son a few months ago, why don't you go to church? I don't want to be a hypocrite. I said, I got the answer for you. Quit being a hypocrite. Amen. Be faithful. So the question then becomes, are we listening to the voice of God? First and foremost, God speaks to us through His Son, Jesus. I can show you that in Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. In the past, God spoke to our people through the prophets. He spoke to them many times and in many different ways. And now, in these last days, God has spoken to us again through His Son. And we need to listen. In John 1, verse 18, it tells us that Jesus came to show us the heart of God. It's God's desire that we all be saved. Peter says that God's not willing that any of us perish, but all of us come to repentance. God wants us. He sent His Son to die that we might gain Him. Through the words of Jesus, we can hear God's heart and His voice. Through Jesus, we can know what God is truly like. Question, are we coming to know God better by listening to His Son? Yes. Jesus indicated in John chapter 10 that when we hear the voice of God, when we obey His voice, we become the sheep in His pasture. Let me tell you something. And maybe you've heard this and maybe not. Did you know that the Bible calls us sheep? You know that. Do you know that's not a compliment? You ever think about that? You know why I say that? Because sheep are dumb. Sheep need a shepherd. Sheep need somebody to lead them. That's why He says, He causes me to lie down by still waters. He leadeth me in the right paths. Because without a shepherd, sheep wander away. Sheep don't mean to get lost. They just don't have anybody to lead them. And if we're not being led by Jesus Christ, you ever see a picture of a shepherd behind the sheep driving them like cattle? No. Shepherd's out front. The sheep follow the shepherd. We ought to be following the shepherd. We ought to listen to Him. Disciples in His kingdom when we listen to His voice. And we are led in paths of righteousness when we listen. We will have the good life Jesus came to make possible, both here and now and in heaven, if we just follow and listen to His voice. Only if we hear and obey can we have it. And secondly, God speaks through His Word. And people mock and laugh at this, but look at Peter. No prophecy ever came from what some person wanted to say. You hear people say, well, that book's just written by a bunch of guys years ago just to make people feel good or to make people feel bad. No, look what Peter said. No prophecy ever came from some person wanted to say, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. God caused every word to be written down. And that's why we need to listen. 2 Timothy 3:16, 17. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. You want to know what a good work is for God? Look in the book. Don't let a group of men sit around and say, we've got this great idea for the church to do. We're going to build this, or we're going to do this, or we're going to drag some instrument in, and we're going to serve God. Don't do that. Listen to what it says. Mel and I were talking today about a little congregation that's obeyed the gospel. Went from a denomination to the true church, and they're babies, they're growing, they're learning that. And they're not there yet, not by a long shot. But they're at least starting to listen. Listen. Hear what he says. Not only is the Bible literally the Word of God, it teaches us how we are to live life in the right way. There's a right way and a wrong way. Look around to your friends and neighbors who care nothing about the Bible, nothing about God, nothing about the church, and you'll see the wrong way. And you need to live the right way so that when they see you, they'll be drawn to God and not repelled away because we're not living the right kind of life. And when you go on vacation, God doesn't stay home. And I think a lot of times we think He does. Well, I don't have to go on Wednesday night. I don't have to go Sunday night. I'm on vacation. Yeah, well, I don't know about that. The Word of God equips us for every good work. The Bible is the instruction manual for all of humankind. A lot of people say, well, I'm not a Christian. I won't be judged by the Bible. Yes, you will. Everybody's going to stand before God in the last great day, and everybody's going to give an account of whether or not we obeyed what God said or that we did not obey. Do we need help with our marriages? And a lot of people do. Do we need help with raising our children? Yes, a lot of people do. I tell you one of the things that bothers me, and it's because I'm technology challenged, I understand that. But people and cell phones. I'm not telling you cell phones are wrong. No, I'm not telling you that. But we went to eat supper tonight. And from here to that chair, first row of chairs, a man and his wife and two little girls. And the husband and the wife. Not talking to the kids. Kids playing some kind of game. I tell you, folks, that's not good. That's not good. Nothing wrong with cell phones. Matter of fact, there's nobody in this room that ever thought we'd be able to do with the telephone what we can do today. That's just one of those other things that's bombarding us that we need to take care of. How to live life during difficult times. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand if you had difficult times, because I know everybody in here has had difficult times. But how do we respond to the difficulties? Do we trust God? Do we listen to God? How to get along with our neighbors? Now, that's a good one. Because there's some just neighbors, they just don't want to get along with anybody. But what do we tell our kids? You're supposed to do right. Well, Johnny and Billy and Susie, you're supposed to do right. You know, that's what God tells us. It doesn't make any difference what the neighbors do. You do right. You do what I tell you to do. Yeah, even our enemies. As much as lies within us, we're to do good to everybody. Do we need to know how to have hope in our time of uncertainty? Yes. Do we need help with our faith? Scripture tells us how to do that. We just need to get in there and dig it out. So that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. You can't get it by osmosis. You can't take it home and put it under your chair and turn on the TV and it just creep into you like nutrients do in the plant. You got to open it up. And you've got to study and you've got to read and you've got to meditate. You've got to apply. And then you're listening to the voice of God. I'll tell you something that Sandy and I do. Never did this before. Sandy and I sit down every night before we go to bed. We do a little Bible study. And just before we go to bed, we pray. You say, well, everybody prays. Well, that's right. But she prays out loud and says what's on her heart, and I pray out loud what's on my heart. And there's nothing in the world wrong with that. I'm not advocating women stand up and preach and pray in the public worship center. I'm not saying that at all. That would not be right. But for you and your spouse to sit down and pray together and talk together about God and meditate about God with each other, that's a good thing. The Word of God provides help for mankind's most pressing issues. The problem is not that God has not addressed these or other issues. The problem is that in many cases, we are not listening. God speaks to us through others. We may not think about that sometimes, but He does. We pray for our children every night that God would put somebody in their life that would say the right thing at the right time, that would touch their hearts, because they don't listen to us. But God speaks to us through others, through a friend, or a teacher, or a parent, or a preacher, or even an enemy sometimes, to convey His message of truth to us. And you might find that difficult to believe, but I take you back to the Old Testament times when you see that God used the enemies of Israel to punish Israel to bring them to light. God can do that. No doubt in my mind about that. Their words may come as instructions. They may come as a rebuke or a warning or a blessing. 2 Timothy 4 and verse 2. Tell everyone God's message. Be ready at all times to do whatever is needed to try to get people to listen to the truth. Tell people what they need to do. Tell them when they are doing wrong and encourage them to do right. We just don't have to jump on people and just beat them down and beat them down and beat them. That doesn't get anybody. Paul says that through love, we talk to people. Now, they're going to get upset. There's no doubt about that. Some people will. You look at what they did to Jesus. Jesus had one message. That was to obey God. And it caused many people to follow Him and give their lives. And it caused others to hang Him on a tree. But it was the same message. Some wanted to hear and some didn't. Do this with great patience and careful teaching. People have to know that we have a love for their salvation, a love for their souls, and that we're not mean-spirited, but we just want them to see what the Scriptures have to say. All truth about our lives and the way we're living, good or bad, whether we choose to hear or to ignore it, it depends on us. Depends on us. Whether or not I'm going to obey God depends on Richard, not on my wife. Whether you're going to hear what God has to say depends on you and you alone. Through nature, through God's creation. Two verses are important here. If you look in Psalm 19, 1 through 4, and I used this verse yesterday, but I love this verse. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of His hands. Day after day they pour forth speech. Night after night they display knowledge. They have no speech. They use no words. No sound is heard. Yet their voice, their message goes out into all the earth. Just look at what God has wrought. Look at what God has given us. In Romans 1, 20 and 21, 20 through 22. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, His eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made from His creation, so that they are without excuse. No one has an excuse to be evil, sinful, mean, hateful, despicable. No excuse. Because they can see that there's a God. And see, they even want to deny that. They don't like the idea that there's that the Creator created something, that it just came into existence, which is so foolish. 21, for although they knew God, they neither glorified Him as God nor gave thanks to Him, but their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools. And we're surrounded by them. Now, I don't mean here now, but in the world, we're surrounded by them. These verses tell us, number one, only a fool cannot see God in nature. A design demands a designer. Those who see God, hear God, come to know God because they want to. Through nature, through His creation, we can see. And do not obey Him, those people become fools. And it's sad. Do we need to say more than Scripture says? I think not. It ought to be enough for anybody. God speaks through our difficult moments. An example of this is from the life of Jonah. At first, Jonah audibly heard the voice of God. Get up, Jonah, I want you to go. But he chose to ignore the voice. Even ran from the voice, went the other way. And so then God spoke to Jonah through circumstance. First, by being swallowed by a God-prepared great fish. I want you to know, underscore, God prepared the fish. And second, God provided a vine to grow up to shade Jonah. You ought to read that. If you don't not familiar with that account, read that account sometime. Oh, Jonah was happy that God made that gourd grow up and shade him from the heat of the day, but man, was he upset the next day. That's another whole lesson in itself. God caused the worm to cut the vine. It withered and the shade was gone. God uses such circumstances to change us, to remold, to remake us into what He wants us to be. Look at 1 Peter 1:6 through 9. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief of all kinds of trials. Listen now. These have come so that your faith of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Oh, Jesus is going to come back. I don't know when. Maybe in the next moment. We may not get back to our houses. Maybe 1,000 years from now. I don't know. But whether He comes today or tomorrow, we have to be ready. Because it'll be too late then if we're not. James says, count it a joy when trials come. They produce patience and endurance. Did you know the beauty of the mountaintop? You never really appreciate it if you haven't been down in the valley. You think about that. If everything was just good and hunky-dory like the Taliban would say, once you send them $1,000, everything just wonderful, what would be the comparison? You've got to know about the hard times. The hard times make you appreciate the good times. My brother gave me a 1950 Mercury. I was in high school. And it was cool. It was customized. Had black and leather golden pleated door panels. Had a little gear shift, a little screwdriver for the gear shift, and it's sharp. You know what happened to it? Tore it up. Ran it till it was out of oil. You know why? Didn't cost me anything. I didn't appreciate it. If I had that back now, man, no telling what that thing'd be worth. But we got to understand that Jesus, James says, count it joy when trials come because they produce patience and endurance. And if we've never been through hard times, we're never going to understand the good times. When such difficulties come, we need to ask, God, what are you saying to me? What do you want me to do in this situation? And if you studied your Bible and you know your Bible, you're going to know the answer to that. Is this happening to enhance my faith, God, or to prompt me to change? If you study your Bible, you're going to know that. And you're not going to know that if you don't. And never, never contradict His Word. If the voice that's speaking to you goes against the Bible, it is not the voice of God. You have a lot of people say, oh, I hear a lot of voices. And don't listen to those voices. If they're contrary to the Bible, they're not the truth. And as I begin to close and make a few more points, I'll quote Eli. Speak, Lord, your servant is listening. The plan of salvation is this. Believe, John 8:24. If you do not believe that I am He, you will die in your sins. Repent, Luke 13, verse 3. Unless you repent, you will perish. Confess, Matthew 10:32. Everyone who confesses me before men, I will confess before my Father who is in heaven. Be baptized for the remission of your sins. Repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Grow. And this is the thing sometimes we leave out. Grow, 2 Peter 3:18, in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. Amen. Be faithful. All the way, even if it takes your life. Oh, that's hard, Richard. I know. And see, I know what I'm supposed to do. Let me tell you about an old man, Polycarp. Polycarp goes back maybe 3rd or 4th century. And I don't know if he was, quote, a Christian or not, but he was supposedly a man of God. And they told Polycarp, said, if you don't recant, if you don't deny Jesus, we're going to tie you to a stake and we're going to light the fire. Polycarp said, I have served him 84 years and he has never done me wrong. In other words, he said, light the fire. And they did. Now see, I know I'm supposed to do that. You ask me, are you supposed to do that, Richard? Yes. Would you do that, Richard? I don't know. See, I think I would. But when that fire starts licking around my ankles, I don't know what I would do. But I know if I don't listen to God now, if I don't prepare now, I won't have a shot if something like that comes up. We've got to learn. Receive a crown of life. Isn't that what we all want? What is God saying to you today? Ask yourself that question. Is He calling you to become His child by faith, repentance, and baptism and restoration? Is He calling you to change something in your life to make you more fit for the kingdom of heaven? Jesus is calling. Do we hear Him? Will we obey Him? If you need the Lord's invitation, will you come to Jesus as we stand and sing the invitation song?